All right, our agenda is here. On the agenda today, we have support for set coercion. That's issue 44, issue 52, lists of lists, issue 74, IRI compaction and expansion and the conflicts that are caused by that, and issue 76, the use of null in JSON-LD. Any updates or changes to the agenda before we get started?
Yeah, let's see, I just type this down. In issue 76, is a reference to the today I created issue 84.
Let's see. Let me go ahead and pull it up. 84.
It's come up before a couple of times. The previous telecom, I mentioned briefly that. I don't know if we will have the time to discuss it, but it would be good to have in the back of our minds. It sort of relates to both issue 76, about the use of null in JSON-LD, and also tangentially to the use of container set, although it's fairly orthogonal. It will piggyback on that if that's allowed.
Okay. Still reading over it. So this is issue 84, support for controlled probing of unlinked objects. Could you summarize it very quickly so we don't have to necessarily just read through all of it?
Yes. In short, it is a way to parse values of things referenced by null terms, i.e. terms which are not bound to anything in the context.
So is this basically a mechanism to have a JSON document and then put a tiny bit of JSON-LD somewhere deep in the nested structure?
More to allow terms to be null but still parse their values. So it should be, the containing document should be a JSON-LD document. We discussed this before when we talked about allowing undefined terms, and then Marcus asked if we could do probing of the values and parse that at JSON-LD. And we came to the conclusion that we cannot, because the data in there can be potentially any kind of data. We don't know. But sometimes you do know, and if you know, this would be a way to say that this term doesn't mean anything itself, but the object is valid JSON-LD. Please parse it.
Okay. Well, it sounds like that it's going to be a fairly involved conversation, so perhaps we should put that off. Yes, so you're basically saying keep this in mind while we're talking about the issues today, but not necessarily talk about this issue today.
Exactly. If we have the time, but we rarely do, but keep it in mind. Exactly.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Any other updates or changes to the agenda before we get started?
No.
All right. First topic is issue 44, and that is, hold on 1 second, let me find this. Support for set coercion. So this is one of those issues that's kind of been hanging out there for quite a long time. It was, sorry, go ahead. Okay. This is one of those issues that's been hanging out there for quite a while. It was requested that we kind of look into it from Josh Mandel. And the key problem that he was having with JSON LD was that he had he wanted to be able to process the data structures and have a pretty consistent way of processing each item. So, for example, if something is a vCard telephone number, he wants it to always be basically a list in the JSON LD structure. And so we've been playing around with this concept that we could have a set modifier for the container. So we already have container list. We could have container set. And by setting container set, you're basically saying that every time this property shows up, every time this key shows up in the JSON LD document, you can assume that it's going to be in list form or set form, which means that you basically iterate through all the items.
I think he was initially talking about it in the context of framing, not for JSON LD document.
Well, I chatted with him to discuss this, and he seemed to be saying that he didn't care about the framing stuff, that this is outside of framing, that he didn't want to reframe the document. He specifically wanted to have this outside the context of framing. Because the first thing that we said is, well, why don't you go ahead and use a frame for this? But he said that it was kind of a pain. Maybe I'm misunderstanding him, though.
From reading the first sentence in the issue, it's quite clear that he's talking about framing.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know anything else.
Well, maybe I'm getting confused then. Actually, it starts out by saying this issue is about making it easier for frames to specify that certain predicates should always be represented as JSON sets, arrays. Okay. Well, in that case, that makes this a lot easier to discuss.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think that, I'm not sure if he widened this to more than about framing or who else did, but I certainly think that this is related to general context definitions. I believe that it originated in his case in framing, because that's where he takes a graph, some RDF, and creates JSON from it, and in his case applies a frame. But at least in my case, I don't apply a frame specifically. I just apply the context to my graph data. And I have this same need.
So let's see if we can limit the problem or put some bounds on this problem. Nicholas, could you basically just use framing and reframe the data as you get it? Would that work for you?
No. Not in general. I don't need frames, because I always root my representation in one specific object, and then I expand related data further down automatically and just track to avoid cyclic references. And the need I have is to have a way to define a context which ensures that I have a predictable shape of the data. And by using container set, I declare a term to promise that if you encounter the term, you will find a list. I mean a JSON array.
So I think that is an impossible problem to solve. At least that's the conclusion that we've come to over the past you know, 2.5 years of working on this. The whole reason that we have frames is to make sure that the data has a certain structure to it, right? That's the whole purpose of having framing in JSON-LD. You can't just create a context and then expect the JSON-LD document to take that shape unless you do some processing on it, right? Anything other than that, if you basically define a context and you expect the JSON-LD data to take a particular shape, that is a contract between your application and the data source, right? And there's nothing, at least I don't feel that the way that we're thinking about the problem, there's absolutely nothing that you can do to enforce that. The only way that you can enforce that contract, that something has a particular structure, is to run it through an algorithm. And that algorithm that we have right now is the framing algorithm. So I guess I'm not understanding what you're saying, because it sounds like what you're requesting is something that is impossible to do.
It's not, because I already do it.
Okay, but then you don't run. But you don't run any code.
Well, yeah, of course I do. The answer to it is that my primary data view is a Sparkle construct. So I have a predefined contextually bound view of a resource, so I know how many nodes deeper down and related nodes I have apart from the description of the resource itself. So I have a limited graph, and then I just apply the JSON-LD context to that limited graph, and given that I have containers set in place, I know exactly how the shape of the JSON I will get will look like.
Okay. Marcus, you're on the queue.
Well, you said it's impossible. It would be possible if we restrict the syntax specification to require that a list or a set has always to be an array. But that would then make other data invalid. And especially for set, I don't think it's possible, because basically everything is a set in the current spec, at least.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. We could do that. So to address Nicholas first and then Marcus. Nicholas, I think the answer that you gave is that you are actually running an algorithm. It just happens to be outside of JSON-LD, right? It's still what I call a contract between the application and the consumer of it's a contract between the producer of the data and the consumer of the data, right? You're basically saying that you're doing a Sparkle construct, is that right?
Yeah, it could be a Sparkle describe as well.
Okay,
or
but
getting the RDF document for a specific resource.
Okay, but that does impose a certain type of structure on the data, right?
No, it only limits the size of the graph.
Hmm.
And anything else, I mean, I know that I will have one root. It's not a bush, so I have always one root.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I use the reverse representation to, if things link to this resource, I pick them in currently in an at rev block, but I could do something else other than that as well. But I mean, the shape is predictable, because I always know if I follow a link to another object, I will reach that object, and then I pick properties from that object which are present in the graph.
So right, but I guess that's the thing that's confusing me. You keep saying that the shape is predictable, right? And if the shape of the data is predictable, then you have some kind of contract between the back-end data producer and the front-end application, right? So the other way to put it is that by providing a context, That tells you absolutely nothing about the shape of the data. And I think that we're conflating two things if we say that the context is a way to describe the shape of the data, right? You absolutely, there's no way that you can tell what the shape of the data is just based on the context alone. Even if we were to restrict things that have lists and sets to certain things, when you use a context against different data sources, you have no idea what the shape of that data is going to be. So let's say that you define the context, Nicholas, and I used it to query your data, and that had a particular shape. And then I used that same exact context to query some completely different web service, right? And the shape of the data that I get back from that web service is going to be completely different from your application.
Yeah, but that's not the issue. I mean, I don't expect context to be magical in what I get. But when I have RDF data, I want the JSON created from that RDF data to be predictable. And if I don't have containers set, then my users do not know for certain terms if they will have a JSON array or just one value. And this costs problems for them. They couldn't use the data I sent to them. And they don't know anything about the underlying graph. They just want to know that these properties are always arrays and these are not. And that's
okay.
It.
So what happens when you have items that are not sets or lists that come back and are in list or set form? Is that something that you're like, it doesn't matter, or?
They don't. Or how do you mean? If I
well,
have
what I'm saying is that, you know, we're talking about a graph of information, right? And let's say that you're querying a data store, and there is, you know, you expect everyone to just have one age, right? So one faux age associated with it. But there's some data that's dirty, and you end up getting back a faux age that has two pieces of information in it. Does that mean that it's non-conforming if you don't put container a set or list, meaning that you expect there to be a singleton piece of data, and you get back, what you get back is not a singleton, it's you have an array of data?
From a JSON LD specification perspective, I'd expect that to be allowed because that's the current behavior. But from the application point of view, that's bad data. There shouldn't be two ages there. And if there is, they will get an array and not be able to handle it because they aren't conceptually able to handle two age values anyway. Whereas for terms like references and stuff like that, I know that I need them to know that that will always be an array because they just loop over it in their templates.
Okay, so I guess then what the proposal, I'm sorry, I jumped in front of you, Marcus. Go ahead, Marcus.
What was I about to say? I think, Nicholas, the thing is that you're using context for something they're not really made for. So you're using them kind of like a schema or a recipe to translate RDF data to JSON. But that's really what frames are made for. So the context is usually used the other way around, to transform JSON to RDF.
Yeah, well, I have looked into my needs, and I don't need frames for this, because I...
Yeah, I understand you, but, in the end, how do you tell your customers or your partners or whoever that the JSON has that structure? I mean, it's not just about arrays or not arrays, it's also how you nest it and what the field names are and all that stuff.
What did you say? How?
Like the structure of the JSON LD document itself. It's not just about whether that property's value is an array or if it's a single value. Also, like, are they really using JSON LD, or are they just using the JSON part of JSON-LD.
They are just using the JSON I give them.
And okay, so you have some kind of out-of-band documentation which describes the structure of that JSON document, don't you?
I don't need to, because they just look at the data and see if there are properties there. We have documentation for the RDF model we use. So if you need to, you can see the shape of the document types and which properties are involved in the data. But in practice, they just query the service and look at the record they get and, well, just render it. And as long as the properties they can handle, if properties are missing, which is always possible, then there is no problem if I have containers set, because if they see a list, they know that it's a list, and if they see a plain value, they expect that to only be one value. And that's all the contract we need.
If you would say that if we don't specify that in JSON-LD, but you create your RDF to JSON-LD converter, that it works exactly the way as you described, that wouldn't break anything and work for your customers, right?
Well,
the documents would still be compliant to the spec.
Yeah, absolutely. But the good part is that this JSON form can be generated from the JSON-LD context and nothing more. So I can switch implementations without being forced to write code for doing this. I can just apply the JSON-LD context.
Yeah, that's true. But
well, I guess the argument is you could also just apply a JSON-LD frame and achieve the same thing, right? If the hope is to just use the mechanism that's in the JSON-LD processors already, you could solve the problem that you have using just frames.
Well, I do two parts of that problem. Is that to go from container set to me having to require frame, having to implement framing, which is much more complex, and also I would have to write some 20 odd frames because we have lots of different document types with very varied data, and we use index items for Elasticsearch and full posts for single document views. So that would just, it would be another magnitude of complexity for me to handle, which is solved with just container set right now.
Greg, you're on the queue. You might be muted.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not completely connected, so I can't really see all the items. But I guess I really do see value in having the container set as part of JSON-LD, certainly what I did recently with the RDFA test suite, where you've got things, for instance, like the host language. You have to cast things, which is a pain. But it's not clear to me exactly where the proposal is that it would have an effect if we just look at the various different algorithms for, you know, expansion, compaction, normalization, and framing. It seems to me that the only place we really can apply it is framing. I think if I was to, I might make advantage of it in a different algorithm, for instance, my proprietary RDF to JSON-LD translator, in which case if I was given such a context, then I would use that in order to essentially frame the data for that algorithm. But it's not clear to me exactly where other than framing, Nicholas would like to see the spec address chasing a container set.
Right. So let me try and propose what I think Nicholas is saying. So, Nicholas, one way that we could achieve what you would like is to make it such that if if a container set or container list is specified in the context, then values, key values in the JSON-LD document that match that term must be in JSON array notation. Right? It is an error for them to be in anything other than array notation if it's a set, if the container is a set or the container is a list. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then if, given that, that means that all of the algorithms that we have would throw an exception if they came across any data that was supposed to be container set or container list, and the data isn't in that form. So if we compact, it would throw an error. If we expand, it would throw an error. If we do a frame, I guess it would also throw an error. Is that the proposal, Nicholas?
I personally wouldn't really go that far. I'm not sure what you would think would be the best course of action. The only thing that I see necessary is that if you're using a context to generate JSON from a graph, you should put the value of such a term in an array from the beginning, even if there is only one value. And I have no opinion on how that should be enforced if you parse JSON-LD, which has a term declared with container set and there is only one value. I see no harm in parsing it anyway, but maybe you have a different opinion.
Marcus, you're on the queue.
Wouldn't it be possible to define that at container set maps to an array in framing, and you just use empty frames, so there is nothing in the frame except the context, so you wouldn't have to change your implementation. It would be in framing kind of officially, but it wouldn't change anything for you.
You mean that container set would only be meaningful in frames?
Yeah, kind of. So if you do framing, it results always in an array. But in a JSON-LD document, it just means that an unordered list.
If I understand you correctly, I think that solves it for me. Absolutely.
Because if in a frame you don't specify anything else than the context, it will basically return everything.
I would have to see how that would look. If I have an instance document, where would I put container set declarations?
Well, in the instance document, it will then be, the context will just be added on top of the document in the end. But
yeah,
in your translation step, you consider it as a frame instead of just a context which you are using as a frame.
Oh, all right. That sounds fine to me.
If we would just add it to framing, that would solve both issues.
Yeah, I think that's a very good proposal, Marcus. At least that makes sense to me. The biggest concern I have, Nicholas, with putting this in anything that's not framing is that all of a sudden we're putting this restriction on what a JSON-LD document is that I don't think we necessarily need to make. Right, because if we're talking about the shape of the data, that's what framing's about, right? Framing is always about the shape of the data, and what you're talking about is, I agree that it kind of straddles you know the line between framing and just a regular what makes a valid JSON-LD document, but I think that we've always tried to make the JSON-LD documents as accepting as possible for you know terms that we don't know anything about or you know structures that we're not sure about. So I feel much more comfortable applying what Marcus just said, right, which is basically making this a form of framing. So the frame that you would generate, Nicholas, would have sets and lists for the things that you expect there to be sets and lists, and that addresses your issue. And then we continue to be able to keep the ability of this, you know, really flexible JSON-LD document format. I like Marcus's proposal. At least that's my favorite proposal on this issue so far. And also, as Marcus said, we go ahead and we solve Josh Mandel's issue as well in the process.
I like this because my intent was never to restrict JSON-LD, only to make generating JSON-LD predictable without necessarily using all of framing.
Yeah. The other option that I was thinking that we could do would be to have a new API call, like, for lack of a good name for it, something like Listify, that will basically turn every value in a JSON-LD document. It's kind of like framing, only not as strict, meaning that every value in the JSON-LD document gets turned into a list. So the way that you process these JSON-LD documents is you know that every key has a list associated with it, and you just go through the list. But again, I don't like that as well as I like Marcus's proposal. I'm just throwing that out there in case anyone can build on top of that, just so the idea is out there.
Yeah, I agree that that's not as usable. I can see, though, how, for instance, possibly RDF-JSON users would like it, because RDF-JSON always looked like that.
Mm-hmm. So there's another mechanism that we could talk about as well, and that would be another API call that would be something like walk. So walk would basically go through and give you every object along with its key value pairs. But I don't know. I haven't put a lot of thought into the walk mechanism. So basically, if you have a JSON-LD document, if you call walk on it, you will get you'll effectively get, you know, the subject and then the property and then the value for that property. It's effectively a triples call. It's a two triples call, effectively. But I don't know if that really helps you, Nicholas.
Not really. My intent is for the context to be the primary workhorse for my turning my data into JSON.
Okay.
And given that I know what data I have in my application, it's so easy for me to just apply this context and get the JSON. But as said, I don't want this to restrict anything else unnecessarily and throw exceptions if it doesn't apply. The only thing is to get never get this, but always that. If in my context I have defined
right.
Set
okay.
For that.
Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. So it seems that we may have consensus around adopting container set and container list. Or actually, we already adopted container list. So this would be to adopt container set, and then once we have that. The next question is something that Marcus raised in the issue list, which is, since we have container set and container list, does it make more sense to just make that a part of type? So why not do something like posting this. So why not do something like that, where you have ID is the IRI, and then type is list, or type is set. Or if you wanted to have a list of items that are typed, you could have type, and then the array is list, comma, XSD date, or set, comma, XSD date. And again, this context would only apply when you frame the data.
That was one of the original proposals when we added list,
mm-hmm.
is that we had a variety of different ways of doing it. And I don't recall the issue number, but I think we determined that what we're doing now was more consistent with the rest of JSON-LD than starting to impose more content. So now when I look at type, you know, is it a value I get? Is it an object I get? Is it an array?
Right.
It just didn't feel consistent with the way whatever else we were doing with JSON-LD.
Right. Okay.
Just to make sure, type can already be an array right now, right?
It can.
I didn't think it could.
No.
A type can be an array within a document, yes.
Document wouldn't change anything.
Not within a context.
That's correct.
And in which case, its meaning is multiple values, right? It's multiple types versus something where one might be a type, one might be, say, list, unless you're considering conflating set and list with being a type, which it's not.
Right.
So an array as a value of type is not allowed in the context?
That's correct, because remember, it's not RDF type that we're specifying there. We're specifying the data type of the value.
Yeah.
Right. This is that thing that we were afraid that would happen, right? People would get confused between the RDF type and data type. And I think that just happened. But I think we're very clear on it, right? Type in the context is used to set the data type of the property, period.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think that we may have consensus. So the proposal would be to adopt container set as something that you can put in the context. And when used in the JSON-LD framing algorithm, anything that is container list or container set is placed into a JSON array. I think those are the two proposals on the table. Does anyone else disagree that those are the proposals that seem to have consensus?
I think I like it.
Okay.
This does mean that in my case, I link to a context currently, and I can still just do that, right? I can link to the context, and in that context I have container set, and then in my documentation I say that I apply framing. Is that correct?
Hold on, sorry, Nicholas. Can you say that again? I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
No, it just means that I'm not entirely sure how to... Do you have to link frames explicitly, or does framing take the context into account?
Framing takes the context into account.
Right, so I don't have to change my data. I only have to say that I apply the framing logic to it to ensure that set is applied.
I believe so. We have to look at the framing algorithm still. So there's still room to change it if that's not what happens.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that a frame that just given a context is supposed to basically leave your data as is. It's supposed to basically return everything in the format that you gave it.
And then if set is present there, it will apply.
Yep. That's right. Yeah.
So if set is absent, then it would revert to the, even though it got, let's say, an array with a single value, it would be able to use that with a simple value form.
Well, yeah. I think it's supposed to give you back what you give it in.
Yeah.
If you don't specify, and I think there's an option to basically return everything as it's given. Then if you put in an array with a single item in it, it should give you back an array with a single item in it. If there's absolutely no information, information on what the framing algorithm should do with that data.
Well, it seems to me that we should have a way to be able to reduce the, you know, an input document to a more minimal output document. And in fact, I'm not even sure how that would do it. If framing involves normalization, then normalization, described it, or even if it's flattening, if it's not that as extreme as normalization, we would lose all of that.
Yeah, you're right.
Couldn't you do compaction afterwards to achieve that, for example?
I guess what Greg is saying is, yes, you could, Marcus, but I think what Greg is saying is that we lose that information during the normalization algorithm because everything's turned to triples.
Giving it an empty context would return the document as is isn't correct.
Yeah.
Well, the question is, as with all the other algorithms, if we go through normalization for the algorithms, we discussed that also for expansion, for example, or for compaction.
Yeah. I think framing has to go through normalization. Anyway, I think this is a separate issue, right? I think that what the decision that we're making is that we think that we can achieve what Nicholas needs in the framing algorithm. If that is not true and we need another API call to do something very specific, we can always add it. Right, but right now we believe that we can address Nicholas's issue in some way. Okay, so the proposal is to adopt the container set syntax when used in a JSON LD context to specify that a term should, be contained, associated with a set of values. No problem, Nicholas. Okay, so adopt the container set syntax when used in a JSON LD context to specify that a term is associated with a set of values. So that's just the second proposal that we're going to do is to specify that a container set results in a JSON list when used with the framing algorithm.
Well, this proposal basically means nothing, right? I mean, so it doesn't have any effect.
Well,
no,
I guess the effect of this proposal is we are adding the set keyword.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an annotation at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's probably what the proposal should have said. I'll go in and fix it. And then Greg, do you have a plus one, minus one?
He was just kicked out, I think.
Yeah, but he should still.
Sorry. Yeah, if you can go ahead and plus one me.
Okay.
I can't. I don't have access.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. Okay. So that's resolved, and then the next proposal is when the container set. Syntax is used. In a JSON LD context within the compaction algorithm.
Framing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Framing within the framing algorithm, the container set syntax is used in a JSON LD context within the framing algorithm. The resulting term will be associated with a JSON array. When the container set syntax is used in a JSON LD context for a term definition. Okay, so when the container set syntax is used in a JSON LD context for a term definition within the framing algorithm, the resulting term will be associated with the JSON array. Greg, do you have a...
Sorry, I was dealing with a cable guy. did you have a question for me?
Yeah. So the proposal right now, I just need you to plus one, minus one, plus zero. The proposal is when the container syntax is used in a JSON LD context for a term definition within the framing algorithm, the resulting term will be associated with a JSON array.
Yes, give me a plus one on it.
Okay. All right, so that is resolved. Good. I thought this was gonna span multiple calls. All right, so let me note that very quickly in the issue, and then we'll move on. You did. Okay, great. Thank you, Marcus. All right, so I'm trying to see if it'll be easy to do issue 52. Issue 52, let's try it very quickly, and if we run out of time, we run out of time. Issue 52 is, congratulations, Greg, on your internet access at the...
Yes, it was very traumatic.
I can imagine. Okay. Issue 52, list of lists. Here's the link to the... topic. So the concern here was that it was going to be fairly difficult algorithmically to support lists of lists. Dave Longley looked at the algorithm as well. So Greg, this happened, Greg, when you took a look at the algorithm and you were writing some spec text and it just started to get very, very unwieldy pretty quickly. Dave Longley, our CTO, looked at it as well, and he said that the list of lists code ended up taking like 20% of the code for the translation, or rather it started to become very complicated, and we still haven't identified a very good use case for it. So Dave's suggestion was to make it illegal for the time being. That is, an exception is thrown when you have a list of lists, and then in the future, if we need to support that mechanism, we can do so. So this is basically a way of future-proofing ourselves so that we can add the feature in the future if people really, really need it or if I have a very compelling use case. But for right now, a list of lists in a JSON LD document will throw an exception. Is there any input on this? Is there anyone that really, really, really needs lists of lists?
No, I would be fine with that.
Okay.
Just actually one thing. When we were looking at doing lists of lists in RDFA, we came to a similar conclusion that there was really no use case for it, and it was just going to add a lot of complexity for no good purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So should we just try to resolve this?
Yeah. So the proposal is lists of lists are not allowed for JSON LD 1.0. If a list of lists is detected, the JSON LD processor should, I guess, must throw an exception, and we'll name the exception later. Okay. Okay, so that is resolved. Great, we did that in like 4 minutes. That's fantastic. Next up is detail how IRI conflicts are resolved when compacting and expanding. So let's do this. Let's try and do this one really quickly, see if it'll... Topic is here, issue 74, link is here, thank you, Ted. Okay, I unfortunately have to remind myself a bit what this was about.
So the issue was if you have two terms that map to the same IRI, and you use each of those two separate terms within a document, when you expand, where you now where you used to have two keys, you now have one key.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you compact, you have a choice of possible terms to use when doing that compaction. And if there was different data type coercion, say, for each of the different terms, you're now faced with potentially having to split what's a single key after expansion into multiple keys. So it was adding a substantial amount of complexity that I don't think we had intended.
Right. So I guess the I'm wondering if we should...
But if you like consider that we also allow specifying instead of a term using the full IRI directly, we always have that case. We can't prevent it anyway.
So there are multiple levels to this issue, right? The first issue is that if you have two keys with the same value in JSON, most libraries are just going to, I forget what most libraries do. I think they just end up merging the data with the last defined one wins. So, Marcus, I think that addresses your concern that if we have two IRIs and we put the same value in those IRIs, JSON will take care of it for us.
That wasn't my concern.
Oh, okay.
My concern was that you can always use within a JSON-LD document the full IRI instead of using a term. And then if you define a term for the same IRI in the context, you also have the issue there. It's not just having two terms which map to the same IRI. So
right.
We basically can't solve that issue anyway, in my opinion at least.
Did you say can't? Cannot?
We cannot.
Okay. We could throw an exception. So for example, when you're doing compaction, if you detect that two items are going to be expanded, or when you end up expanding the thing out. And you detect that there's already a key with that value in, at the level, you could throw an exception at that point. I think that would be a reasonable thing to do.
Why should you? You could also just create an array, which is the same amount of work to do, I think.
No, not for the key position, you can't, right? So look at Greg's first example.
For the value. So you just list the values of both keys in an array.
Yeah,
that's
you're right.
The same as detecting it and throwing an exception.
Yeah, you're right. That might be the cleaner solution.
It's just that you lose some, I don't know, well, you always lose something if you do compactions. Or you possibly could lose something, but that. Well, I don't think we can solve that anyway, so.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess in this case, when we're talking about compaction, I guess even when we're talking about expansion, if you detect that there's another key with the same value, you convert the value into basically a set adjacent array that contains all of that information. Does that address every single one of those issues? Okay.
I think it's pretty straightforward for expansion, but it's a bit more tricky for compaction, as the two terms could have different types, for example, type coefficients. So then you would have to split the value to those two terms.
I don't know how tricky that is in practice. It depends on how you set up your internal.
Sure, yeah. I think we can address that complexity, so we shouldn't prevent that at the syntax level. So I agree with you, Niklas, yeah.
Yeah.
There's also potentially a problem in determinism if we are looking at keys in an object. It's not deterministic which key will be picked by a given processor.
Yeah.
You mean during compaction?
In compaction, when we expanded, we have effectively compacted multiple keys into a single key in the case.
Well, but the single case MRI, which is unambiguous.
Yes, but oddly, the expansion is that actually resulted in a form of compaction. Now, when we compact, maybe there's not an issue. Manu had said something about the last definition of wins. That might just be when deciding which term to use when compacting.
I don't think it works for compacting, Greg. Yeah, I think it's still an issue. Yeah, I think we inevitably would have to talk about, what wins. We can't do last wins because some of the JSON libraries don't support that kind of ordering of keys. We could talk about heuristics, which I think is a bad idea to do this, but we could say the more specific thing wins. So if you're looking at Greg's first example there, if you have two IRIs that map to the same thing and one of them says type XSD integer and the other one does not, when you compact, you use the more specific one to do the compaction. But then you get into the problem of, well, what happens if one of them is XSD integer and then another one is like XSD colon decimal? Then we have to fall back to doing things like lexical comparison of the type to see which one ends up winning. So it seems like we have two approaches that I can see right now. One of them is to say the first defined wins, and that is fine as long as the JSON libraries that the person is using can effectively keep the order of the keys in some particular order.
But we can't do that really. I mean, JSON is defined that the keys of an object are unordered, so we can't rely on that.
Well, except that all the browsers order the keys in the order that they receive them. So basically, even though JSON, the spec says that, all of the browser manufacturers have implemented ordered first defined wins in their implementations because they found out that a whole bunch of websites break if they don't do that.
Well, but that's different. So they just override it, but they don't preserve the order per se. Then
they preserve the order that it was specified in the JavaScript source or the JSON document that they got in.
Is this for the same value as for the same key?
No, not for the same key. That's a different issue.
Yeah, right. That's for browsers, but most server-side libraries use the default dictionary map, hash map implementation of the language, and those have very different orders.
Well, some of them actually do allow you to order, like Python allows you to order it in a certain way or preserve
it. Yeah, the JSON library with order dict, but not by default. The default dict is unordered.
Right, exactly. I'm just highlighting that as justifying having
an order, depending upon ordering. And it's not clear to me that we do, that there is an MN. I think the only ambiguous case is when you had two term definitions that were identical in their specificity.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't really think there is an integer versus decimal issue because we've already assigned data types to literals, and we're not now doing any heuristic mapping or lexical mapping of values in order to determine types. And for native types, it's determined in the spec that they're, I believe, integer or double, not decimal.
Yeah,
true.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is we have a non-determinism problem in the compaction case, right? And we need to figure out how to break that non-determinism. So I think what we just decided was that we're not going to rely on the JSON-LD libraries or the order of definition to break the non-determinism. So the only other option I can see is that we do a lexical comparison or we throw an exception.
I just don't understand what we're doing a lexical comparison against. The value is, in the case of it being the untyped literal, it's an untyped literal. If it was an integer, then it would have been expressed as an object form with a value being say 1 and data type being integer.
What I'm saying is that let's say that we're looking at your first example in issue 74 right now. So you have A and B there. Both of them have the exact same ID. And when you go to compact, you have to decide which one to use, A or B. Right? So that decision can be made on a variety of different things, right? So you might say that the item that is more specific is the one that wins, and in that case, A wins because A specifies type XSD integer. Now, if we assume that both A and B have very similar definitions. So A's definition is example.com/foo for the ID and the type's XSD integer. And then B, the ID is the exact same as A, and the type is different. Let's say it's XSD integer 2. Right? At that point, we need to decide between the two because neither one is more specific than the other. And in order to do that, we would do a lexical comparison either on the key value, so A or B, and in that case, A would win, right? Or we do a lexical comparison on the type, XSD integer versus XSD integer 2, in which case A would win.
Okay, so that would only be the case is if you had a value which was not one of those data types. If it was one of those data types, then you would pick the data type, the term that had the...
That's another way that we could do it. I mean, we can start getting pretty complicated with this, right?
I'd say that you pick the most specific data type, and in case there are multiple terms that have the equal level of specificity, then we probably do it based upon the lexical ordering
of the key.
Of the key.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only place where they differ, and I believe that specificity is commonplace in many rule languages, so it shouldn't be hard to grasp for users either. I mean, even CSS and XSLT has it in abundance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we don't feel that this is. I mean, this is a pretty. We're adding a decent bit of complexity.
This isn't for the API, though. This doesn't really affect the syntax.
That's true. Yeah,
the syntax already allows for complexity because we can have these variations.
Right. I was talking more about the runtime for the runtime requirements for the API. It's just not. It's another set of fairly complicated checks that you have to do. Now you have to basically scan the entire table to see if there's anything else that matches. But I guess you'd have to.
Well, you
had to do that before.
You need a mapping that allows you to do it more efficiently.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It's a space versus time.
Okay, so we're 8 minutes over, but I think we actually have a proposal here. So let's see if we can do this very quickly. So the proposal, when there is a conflict, well, let's see. No,
we're speaking up on compaction.
Yeah, this is so. This would be for
and
compaction.
And framing, I suppose. Does it affect framing the same way?
All right. Well, we're 8 minutes over. Let's go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and write some stuff in the issue. But we need to also look at framing as well. See how this affects framing as well. And it would probably also be good to talk about, you know, outline pretty clearly what the algorithm is in the issue before we go and adopt any proposals. So I will go and do that right after the call. Anything else before we I know the agenda said 120 minutes, but that was a typo. I don't think anyone wants to stick around for another hour. Okay, anything else before we end the call? Anything else before we have the discussion next week?
You don't think we can resolve this right now? Sorry, I wasn't following.
I don't think so, because I think it would be much better if we had a very clear algorithm in front of us, so that we make sure that we address all of the corner cases, because I think that there might be, because this algorithm has to work for compaction and it has to work for framing, and we should probably look at expansion
well,
as well.
Well, actually, I think all that is already in the spec. It's just that we have to make it clear right now so we could resolve that thing. It wouldn't change anything, because all those checks are already in there. It's just that in the worst case, the lexicographical first wins. That's the only thing we add.
I'm not convinced that it's that. Is everyone else convinced that it's that simple?
Get a,
we
if we don't resolve it, I think we should get a scrap poll so that we have recorded what our view is at this point.
Okay,
yeah,
so
reverted.
So the intent for how IRI conflicts are resolved when compacting and expanding any conflicts between terms that use the same IRI, conflicts between terms that use the same IRI, will use the most specific solution when compacting. For example, when compacting 5 and five and having to pick between a term that specifies XSD integer as the type and one that doesn't, the one specifies XSD integer is selected if there is no solution that is more specific than the other, then the lexicographical comparison is made between the terms in the context and the lexicographically least term and its associated type and other information is used to expand the data. So something like that, is that effectively what we're saying?
Yeah, but the other part is when expanding multiple keys that resolve the same IRI will be merged into a single key, but which right now we don't have anything.
Okay, so when expanding multiple keys that resolve to the same IRI, the expanded value will have all of the values associated with the IRI merged into a single JSON array.
Without specifying the order.
Yeah.
Well, without specifying the order mean?
Or specifying the order based upon the lexicographical order of the pre-expanded keys.
I don't understand why we're doing ordering. Because it's a set, right?
Yeah, if you have A goes to one value, B goes to another value, A and B expand at the same term, when I expand, I now have an array with containing those values.
Mm-hmm.
What is the order of those values in the array? Either we say the order is undefined.
Yeah, it's undefined, I think.
Because JSON, we needed to hit it, otherwise we'll hit it again.
Okay, the order of the values in the resulting JSON array is undefined. Okay. So does that basically kind of cover it?
It covers the intent. I think that we should consider whether in the determining specificity, we should look at container as well, perhaps.
Yeah. These are the corner cases that I was concerned about. I think
I believe that container is implied in the most specific term.
Yeah, exactly. And I only think that these are the two. I mean, the container and coercion type, they are the only ones we have to consider. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are other issues, like what happens if one of them says container list and the other one says container set?
Well, there is no ambiguity, is there?
If the value is in a list form, then you would use the list.
Yeah.
If it's not in list form, then you would use the set.
Yeah. Container set would be pretty much a no-op. It would mean the same thing as just the ID because it doesn't have any richer value in without framing.
Hmm. But then you could accidentally convert something that's a set to a list, couldn't you? When the author's intent was it's a set, and they just used a JSON array because there are two items in there, and then all of a sudden we have this coercion rule in there that says a list, and we check against that, and then we see that it's a list, then all of a sudden it gets turned to a list when they didn't really intend it to be that.
We won't ever turn something into a list that didn't start off as a list.
No.
Right. What I'm saying is that it's expressed as a JSON array, right? And so you don't really know whether you're turning it into a set or into a list for a conflict between two values.
No,
it's a form of a JSON array. It only makes a list when there's a context that coerces that value to a list. Yeah,
exactly. Or an explicit list key in an object.
So when we expand, that's turned into an explicit list form.
Yeah.
When we compact, we would only pick a term that had list coercion if we had a value that was a list.
Yeah. So I don't
right,
think.
Right, but I'm questioning whether that's the right thing to do, because that. I guess it's a question on author intent. I guess is what I'm saying, is you don't really know what the author intended. You didn't know if they intended, if you have A, which is container list, and B, which is container set, and down in the data they have, some IRI, right? So they, you have a term A and a term B, and they both map to the same IRI. And then down in the document, they use the IRI, and they have a JSON array. It's ambiguous. You don't know if they meant, you know, A or B. When I guess in that case, we would use A, right, because it's lexicographically least for compaction.
But I thought that we used, yeah, exactly. I mean,
okay, I confuse myself.
I think we use the term when determining coercion rather than the expanded IRI. Because I recall we use the term if it's there, and if otherwise, if there is a term that has the same expanded IRI, we use that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that solves any kind of ambiguity there.
Okay. All right. I hope so. All right. Thanks, guys. Great chat today. And
do you want to plus one on your statements or not?
This is just a recording of intent. I think we really should review all this stuff before we say that, before we accept a proposal. I still think we need a pretty clear algorithm in front of us.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Chat with you next week.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.